Even though the sixth chapter is said to be Dhyana Yoga or Yoga of Meditation, it has material that can help us in all aspects of our personality. It's a very, very complete chapter. In our personality, just for those who are new, we have three aspects: the body, the mind, and the intellect. And the body is what we use to perceive the objects of the world. The mind is the seat of emotions. We feel the emotions. And the intellect is where we think, our thoughts, our ideas. So with the intellect, I think the thoughts. So this is the BMI chart. And then V represents vasanas, or my habits or tendencies, which propel me to do. And then Om represents God's presence within us, which is there in every one of us. You can call it Krishna, Ram, Buddha, Jesus, Allah. But whatever the Lord that we believe in, it is within us as life, as consciousness. So at the body level, this chapter tells us Yukta Hara Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapnava Bodhasya Yoga Bhavati Dukhaha. So we should, for a spiritual seeker, should eat the right food, right amount of work, neither overeating nor undereating, nor overworking nor being lazy. Yukta swapnava bodhasya, one should sleep enough, not oversleep and not sleep. And how about at the mental level? It tells us at the mental level, many of them, like in the seventh verse, Jitatmanav Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitah. So the mind that is stationed in the Lord becomes pure, becomes reduced of its vasanas, reduced of its negativities, reduced of anger. At the intellectual level, it tells what is sannyasa, what is yoga. It gives us the right knowledge of what one should do as far as yoga, how to work without attachment to the objects. And sannyas is while working, how to give up the doership. So at the body level, it teaches us how to work. At the mind level, how to purify our emotions. At the intellect level, how to get the right ideas. Jnana, vijnana, triptatma, what is knowledge, what is wisdom, all that is taught in this chapter. And how to reduce the vasanas by all three. With the body, when I do the right actions, work unselfishly, dedicate my actions to the Lord, reduce my selfishness. At the mental level, when I purify my mind, dedicate it to the Lord, fill it with right qualities, divine qualities, love, compassion, then my vasanas are reduced. And when I have the right knowledge of what is my goal or purpose, then automatically my selfish desires are reduced. And through meditation, that is the fastest way to dissolve vasanas. Why do we not see the Lord within us? Even God is in every one of us. I say, I don't know where God is. Maybe he's in the temple. Maybe he's in heaven. But the reason I don't see or experience God's presence in us is because of the vasanas. So through all these practices, at the body, mind, and intellect level, and through the regular practice of meditation, our selfish vasanas get dissolved. And the more I reduce my vasanas, my selfishness, the clearer the truth becomes. God's presence. That's why for these yogis, that's why when Vivekananda, when he was not Vivekananda yet, Narendranath, when he went to Ramakrishna Paramhans, and he asked the master, he says, have you seen God? So Ramakrishna says, I see God more clearly than I see you. See, you and I are so, for us, the world alone is real because that is the only thing we perceive. But for the Mahatmas, they always live in this higher world of Brahman, the higher world of divinity. They function in the world, but they function as, okay, whatever my prarabdha is, whatever my duties are in this particular lifetime, I will carry them out with my body, mind, and intellect. But they are my equipment. I am that consciousness. So that is the state of the Mahatma. And that is what you and I, we all need to work towards acquiring. So We have studied about the technique of meditation, what are the obstacles, how to overcome them. Today we will talk, the one verse will talk about the obstacles of meditation, the last one, that is in the verse number 26, that is the last verse dealing with obstacles. And then verse number 27 and 28 will give us the joy of meditation. Why should I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and turn on the alarm and it's so cold and it's so dark? But you are telling us, get up in the morning, sit and meditate. So why should we? Because we are all profit motive oriented. You know, what is in it for me? You know, mujhe kya milega? Why should I get up? So Bhagwan will answer that question. So today we'll do verse number 26, 27 and 28. So chapter 6, verse number 26. Sukham atyantikam yattad. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yato yato nischarati. Manaschanchalam astiram. Tatastato niyam yaitad. Atman yeva vasham nayet. Together. Yato yato nischarati. Manaschanchalam astiram. Tatastato niyam yaitad. Atman yeva vasham nayet. So people say, you know, I sit for meditation and my mind wanders, runs. The moment I close my eyes, immediately I start thinking about family, about kids, about spouse, about my work, about what happened yesterday, what will happen tomorrow. My mind, I the more I try to control it, the more it runs. And Arjuna will also mention that again in later in this chapter. That is one of his questions and Bhagavan will answer. But here Bhagavan Shri Krishna says, yato yato nischarati mana. Mana, the mind, yata yata, wherever, nischarati, it runs. Charati means run. Nischarati means runs very rapidly. Yato yato mana nischarati. And what is mana? Chanchalam. Asthiram. There are two words Bhagavan uses. Chanchal is restless. Asthiram is unsteady. So, Sri Krishna says the mind is restless and it is unsteady. That is the nature of the mind. Nothing you can do about it. So, he says, nothing I can do about it. Then how am I to control it? So, yata yata nischarati mana chanchalam asthiram tata tata niyam yet. From wherever the mind has gone, from there, control it and bring it back. Etad, this mind should be controlled and brought back. And Atmani eva vasham nayet. And how do I control it and where do I put it? My mind is running. You say, bring it back. Okay, when I bring it back, the mind which is running in objects, emotions, thoughts, bring it back into the self, the Atman, the Lord within. Bring it under the control of the self. Center it on the self. So that is the process of meditation. Through all the meditation steps that we follow, we quieten the mind and then turn it internally to the self. So the two descriptions Bhagavan has given, mind is restless. Restless means it runs one object to another one, and we know that. You know, the moment we try to quieten the mind, that's when happens to every one of us. You sit for meditation and the mind takes off because the mind knows, you know, now he's going to try and control us. So it's like a restless horse, you know, that is untrained. And in fact, Bhagavan in the beginning of the chapter, he says, yoga rudasya tasyaiva shama karanam. So just as a horse is controlled by riding on it, similarly, the mind is controlled by riding on the mind. So the mind, A, it is restless, runs from object to object, and secondly, unsteady. Why is he using two words? Unsteady means even when it sits on an object, it doesn't stay long. You say, at least stay on that. No, it will move from one object to another, stay for a second, then move, And so mind is difficult to control. Bhagavan Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary calls mind is like a monkey. And as we know, when you go to India, you see monkeys, they jump from branch to branch to branch. And they don't stay steady on one branch because they're all the time chasing. Where can I pick up some banana or some mango or some food? And so they are running from branch to branch. And how do we control the mind? So Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary gives a very beautiful example, which I had never thought about. He says in Ramayana, as you all know the story of Ramayana, there were these two brothers, Bali and Sugriv. And Bali was the brother who was on the wrong path. He was on the wrong path. And what he had done is he had collected the army of monkeys and made himself very powerful and driven Sugriv out of the kingdom, stole, didn't want to share his kingdom, even though they were brothers. He took the whole kingdom. Sugriv was forced to run away to the mountain with Hanumanji and a few monkeys. I forget the name of the mountain, if somebody remembers the mountain that Sugriv went into, but anyway, it will come to me. So he ran away to that mountain.
Vindhyachal?
Haan ji?
Vindhyachal?
No, Vindhyachal nahi, uska ek specific naam hai. It will come, maybe I'll remember it. Meru nahi. It's a very specific name. So he had gone away to that mountain and Bali had taken over, with the help of his monkeys, taken over the kingdom. Now, the word Bali means lust. So when the mind is under the control of lust, it is doing all the wrong things. See, these monkeys who were under Bali's control were doing the wrong things and had doing the unjust things. So when our mind is under the control of desire, then we don't care whom we hurt or what we can, as long as I get what I want. So how do we control the mind? So he said, bring it under the control of Sugriv, which Ramchandraji helps Sugriv to get the kingdom. The word Sugriv, Griva means the reins of the horse that control the horse. So Sugriv means well controlled. So a mind that is well controlled with the right ideas, Su means the right ideas, then does Ramchandraji's work, then does God's work. Such a beautiful example. The mind that is under lust will do the wrong things. The mind that has the right knowledge, wisdom, will do God's work. So that's what this example tells us, that put our mind under the control of the Lord, not under the control of our selfish desires, lust. And why do we do that? As we said, because our mind is all the time desiring, wanting, possessing. I should get this, I should get that. And what happens is that the mind says, you know what, let's go and get this thing. And we go there and we find that it was not what the mind had promised. You know, the joy is not as much as you said, arre bada maja aayega. I went there, it wasn't that good. So mind says, don't worry. This time we didn't get, next time. Let's go for this. So let's go. So one after the other, it's like, wo kya bolte hain? Bag, what is that word? Bag dikhate hain wo. What is that? You know, that means the mind is just giving you one after the other, you know. Huh? Haan, sabaj bag dikhate. Yeah, that is showing you different things. Oh, you will have fun. The example they give is like you go looking for Helen of Troy. Those of you who have read Helen of Troy, and you go looking for Helen, like this hero goes, and what does he get? Instead of Helen of Troy, he gets Cyclops, this animal with one eye. So the mind says, it's okay, this time we didn't get, next time we'll get. So all the time, and what we do, our mind is always on small things. Even when we are sitting for meditation, or when you go to the temple and you are sitting in front of the Lord, and instead of thinking of Sri Krishna or Shiva, what we are thinking, chappals. My chappals are outside, I hope nobody steals them. Instead of thinking about Bhagwan, you are thinking about your chappals. Or, you know, my key, I don't know where I left it, you know, which pocket, I hope. Instead of searching for Brahman, you are searching for key. You know, so that is our, or my dog, you know, I forgot to feed him, I don't know. Are bhai, you know, you are here for meditating, or you are here at the temple, put your mind in the Lord. But what we do, we go to the lowest. So they say that mind that is wandering should be brought back and kept stationary with practice. You tell the mind, not now. Remember we talked last week, not now. Now is not the time to think about chappals, to think about dog, to think about my key. This is that my time with God. So when we sit for meditation, it is my appointment with God. And just as when we have an appointment with our boss, how we show up on time and we do put our best clothes and everything. So this is an appointment with the Lord of the whole universe, who is the boss of thousands and millions of such bosses. So that appointment, and that we take him for granted. We don't have to worry about God. He's always there. But my boss, if he gets angry, I'll be in trouble. Give importance where it is due. That's what we'll talk about, mahatva. What is important in my life? Just this ordinary, in Mukund Mala, he says, just this ordinary little boss who is the head of, there's a panchayat, who is the head of one small section, and we give him so much importance, some politician, city council or congressman. And here, the one who has run millions of universes, we don't care about. That is the one that is most important. So that is what the self is. That is what the Lord is. And bring your attention back again and again. And we do that all the time. Like when we are driving, now when you're on the freeway, and if you leave the steering, what will happen? The car will go one way, right? It will go off the road. So you're constantly adjusting. You know, car is going. So because no car is built to be 100% straight. You know, it always leans in one. So you bring it back. Again, the car goes. So because you want to keep it on the lane, because there are all the three lanes are full, there are cars going. You don't want to hit the other car. So you're constantly adjusting your car. Or when you're learning to ride a bike, how the bike goes from here to there. And like when we teach our kids and we tell them, you know, keep your handlebar straight and bring it back. So just as we adjust our steering wheel, just as we adjust our handlebar, so same way adjust your mind. When it goes there, bring it back here. When it goes there, bring it back here. And where is here? When it is running all the way in the objects, bring it back here in the Lord's presence. And Gurudev gave us three words. Mind should be quiet, alert and vigilant. These are three very, very important words for those who meditate. So one is a quiet mind. And how do we make the mind quiet? By chanting the name of the Lord, by watching the breath. The breath is a very important way to quieten the mind, chant the name of the Lord, reduce my selfishness, reduce my desires. So the mind is made quiet by all these methods, by remembering God, by doing karma yoga, by doing service. Then, after the mind has become quiet, you are very alert. And the mind should not wander. Mind should stay here. So you practice and you practice. And the vigilant is that soon as the mind wanders, you bring it back. What happens? People sit for meditation and used to happen to me quite often, at least in the beginning, that 15, 20 minutes are gone and I have a little small alarm. Or now I try to meditate about an hour in the beginning, about 20 minutes. You say, oh my God, all 20 minutes are gone and I didn't even think my mind was running. And then you say, now the time is up. Now I have to go get up and get ready. So the more you practice, the vigilant your mind becomes, that instantly when the mind goes, you should be able to bring it back. So that comes with practice. Yes, mind will go, but if you are alert, then you say, oh, mind is going, let me bring it back. So you move it back to the focus of meditation. What is that? What is that? Is the Lord. So how do we do that? So another very beautiful thing I heard is that you focus on what is the essence. So there are five, you know, Shabda, Sparsha, Gandha, Rupa, Rasa. Shabda is sound, taste, touch, color, form and smell. So these are our five, eyes, ears, nose, skin and tongue. So in my mind, I think of something I have seen or something I have heard or something I have eaten or something I have smelled, something I have touched. But what is the essence of everything? What is the essence of all objects? Like the, what is the essence of this table? What is the essence of this chair? That is Brahman, right? It is Brahman alone that we have heard in previous verses that is appearing, the Lord alone is appearing as this whole universe. So every individual I meet is God. Every object I see is God with name and form. Brahman with name and form. Just as gold is the same, but you can call it necklace, you can call it bangle, you can call it anklet, you can call it ring. But when you melt them, they all become one. And that is gold. So gold with name and form is ornaments. Mud with name and form is all the pots and the saucers and the plates. So Brahman with name and form is all this whole universe. All these individuals I contact are that one. That's why all the saints, they say God is everywhere. They see God everywhere. But you and I, we say, oh, God is only in the temple or God is only in the church. God is not in, but God is in everything, whether it's animate or inanimate, whether it's living or... So, essence of everything is Brahman. So, when your mind wanders, you say, that is God itself. So, then your mind will... And that's why when you walk, if you can see God everywhere, then your walk becomes meditation. You're walking on the street, going for an evening walk, you see all the trees, that is God. You see the birds, you see the cars, see the drivers, see everywhere is God. And that is meditation when I see that everywhere. But what we do is we say we want something to do. And so that's why the Mahatma said, okay, you want something to do, then here are the 7 steps. And if you want those 7 steps, I know I have told that before, but if you go to firstpower.info, there is a talk, what, why, when, where, how of meditation, where we have listed those 7 steps and how to go stepwise. It's a half an hour video you can all watch. And once you do that, then there are a lot of guided meditation. So an introductory talk is there on that. So the importance of this subject should be Mahatva. What is the importance? Importance is not so much in objects, but importance is in God. And that we have to understand. But our problem is that we can see objects. We don't see God. And so that's why we think this is important. And there's a beautiful story about this old lady who was looking for her pin. Has anybody heard that story? She was looking under the light. Maybe one or two have, but most of you have not. So I'll tell the story. So at one time, nighttime, there was this in India, you know, people walk on the street. And so this man was walking and there was this old lady bent over under the street lamp and looking very worried. So, you know, as usual happens in India, people stop. He says, oh, Mataji, what happened? What are you looking for? She says, I'm looking for a pin, my needle, you know, the sewing needle. I'm looking for that because I'm a tailor and I make my living by sewing people's clothes. And I've lost my needle, my sui kogi. And if I'm not able to find it, I won't be able to stitch my clothes. And tomorrow I have to deliver them. So he says, oh, can I help you? She says, yeah. So they both start looking on, you know, on the floor. Where is that needle? And then another 2-3 men come. What are you looking for? Oh, this poor lady has lost her needle. Let's all look. So they all, so big crowd gathers. And in India, crowd gathers just like that. So 20 and 30 people are looking for that needle. And it's dark. And then, you know, the light is not very strong. And they look. And after half an hour, they say, we can't find it. They say, Mataji, where did you drop the needle? Can you give us some idea? At least then we can search in that area. She says, I dropped it in my house. So he says, you dropped it in your house? Then why are you looking here? She says, because there is no light in my house and there is light here. So the light is here. My house has no electricity. So I dropped. So we may laugh at her, but that is, you and I are not any better than that lady because we have lost our joy within. But we are looking for it in the world outside. Why? Because there is light. See, there is light. I can see things and I think by getting this, I will get joy. But I don't understand that true joy is within us where we lost it. And that's what he says. Pehle aap pehchano, find it within. Then you'll see joy everywhere. Once you have discovered God's presence within, then you'll see God everywhere. Everything is God. And that is what the essence of this verse is, that bring it back to the Lord's presence within. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back.